In just a moment, I'm going to share some thoughts on asking for forgiveness. And so to begin, we have a note from one of our neighbors down the street at 8 Old Washington Crossing Road that we've got folks parked 3 feet deep, and he needs to mow. So I'm going to offer that, and if you know that you are one of those cars, we will forgive you for needing to pop out and come back in. So if you didn't come to this realization by the beautiful offerings of the choir, or because of our hymns this morning, this past Wednesday began the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are called the High Holy Season in the Jewish tradition. The Days of Awe, they are called, or the Days of Repentance. It's a time of solemnity, attentive reflection, and most notably, perhaps, a time to discover where we might need to ask for or offer forgiveness. I used to think we Unitarian Universalists didn't do much with forgiveness, which is kind of ironic since the seeds of our tradition live in this document called the Doctrine of Atonement that sets out our Universalist theology. It basically said no one, no power of love so big and so full of creation would turn its back on what it created. So return to the places, to the people that love you, despite all the ways you've mucked it up along the way. Somehow, over time, that love that is so big shifted first to a self-deprecating joke and then a bit of a statement of pride that we are too good for a God to damn us. And then, over time, for some, it shifted again to the negation of a power higher than our own reason. And at the end of it all, or maybe really right in the middle today, we are left without confessionals or rituals of forgiveness, without days of awe, let alone days of repentance. And as such, I fear without much of a spiritual stomach, the tools to hold our missteps, our falters, our failings. It's quite silly, really, when you think of it. Of all places within this covenantal community, an entire faith bound in relationship, and no season or ritual that asks for or offers the thing that draws us back to wholeness. Each year, I recall a story that I've shared here before, how a woman I used to work with, though not Jewish herself, has a close friend who is. And preceding sundown of the last days of this season, my coworker would get a phone call from this friend. Each year, it was the same ritualized call, but each year it was alive. Is there anything I have done this year to you, the friend would ask, that I should know about, that I need to make amends for? That tradition terrifies me. My brother and sister-in-law are Jewish, and each year I wonder if they have such a practice amidst their otherwise secular lives. Does such a question accompany their Rosh Hashanah celebrations? Do they dare sit with one another, with friends, my brother with his in-laws, or they with him, and speak those words? Is there anything I have done this year that I need to make amends for, to you, with you? Now, let me be really clear. I don't ask if they have this practice, because what if they do? And what if, hearing that window opening, he invites me into it? He, better at asking the question than me, practiced, I'm sure, at calming his racing heart as you wait to hear the answer, as you wait to hear yourself, that version of yourself you've pushed aside, foot finally yanked out of mouth and able to swallow again, having assured yourself it really wasn't that bad. That version of yourself reflected back to you, named, made true, shared as opportunity. But just thinking of it, Brené Brown, that PhD in vulnerability, would have a field day with me. How would I hear it? How would I hold it? Knowing that I was not the only one who kept a tally in my head. not the only one who needed to hear an apology. I wish I were like the trees, begins Peter Friedrichs in his poem Release. I wish I were like the trees who let their leaves go gracefully, without regret. Or the tumbling stream that flushes silt to sea, exchanging murkiness for blessed clarity. Or the dandelion who bows its head to the subtle breeze, unleashing its future without fear or loss. Instead, I drive white-knuckled, defensive as we were taught, tense and guarded for what may come my way. I keep a death grip on my life. While writing this sermon, coincidence maybe, or because this is how the Spirit works, I was making a number of apologies to people I respect and love, asking for forgiveness for thoughtlessness, speediness when I should have slowed down, brisk interactions rather than presence. I would have done anything for a confessional in that moment, if only to lie down and hide within. But alas, I had to write a sermon on forgiveness, on asking for forgiveness. There were these moments in the exchange, hearing that I hadn't been the self I like best, when I could feel, no, I couldn't feel. That's the thing. There were these moments when hearing how I had really worn thin some part of this relationship I valued, when I couldn't feel. It was all armor. You know what I'm talking about? Those shields we carry, readied at our side, pulled to the front of our bodies, our hearts, prepared to deflect the anticipated comment or silence. And then we've each got those thick metal spiky shoulders, don't we? Like in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Warning not to get too close. Swords too, don't forget, the weapons we use, just in case it's not clear that we will use whatever power we can these days, all the little bit of power that we need to see us through. Those cutting comments, as if under the breath is an actual place that silences what is spoken. The quick joke that shuts down what may continue. The email behind the computer screen, no safer, not really, but rather than see the flesh react. Armor. That death grip on the life, white-knuckled and defensive as we are taught, and purposeful at that, layer after layer, removing the actual feelings that are alive, the thick jacket against the vulnerability and fear. I know that with others on my really good days, if I can picture that armor bedazzled, personalized, maybe with that puffy paint stuff or bumper stickers, and also remember how thin it is, how fragile, one layer on top of another for protection, out of fear, built, not born with, it reminds me of the person beneath the guard. But that's about others. That's about forgiveness given, not needed. Seasons and rituals such as this remind us how scary, how fragile, how removed from the Spirit we can become when we fear that someone may no longer want to know what's below the armor we have crafted. Below the pain, the anxiety of an anxious world, the weight of the day, and our imperfect holding of it. It's scary to hear the way you've let someone down, to know we too can harm. It is scary to need forgiving, laying the trust of relationship and of being seen with fullness and generosity, leaving that in the hands, the heart of someone else. An honorable human relationship, wrote Adrian Rich. An honorable human relationship, that is one in which two people have the right to use the word love. It's a process, delicate, violent, often terrifying to both persons involved, a process of refining the truths they can tell each other. She continues, it is important to do this because it breaks down human self-delusion and isolation. It is important to do this because in doing so, we do justice to our own complexity. It is important to do this because we can count on so few people to go that hard way with us. I don't say any of this today to stir up all the ways in which we're sitting here with the thing we did or didn't do, I'm sure so long ago. It couldn't have been right as you walked in this morning, I'm certain. I don't say this to make us feel more regretful or just bad on a Sunday morning. I offer the gentle reminder that the world is formed by the echoes of what it hears, from the mimicry of what it sees. If our hearts can harbor people who have hurt or offended us, there will be a place for our stumbling too. If we dare ask, dare hear with brave hearts how we've moved through the world with less poise, less generosity, less kindness, yeah, it's going to hurt, but in the way that a bone resets. Hurt in the way scabs itch. Hurt in the way that new love keeps you awake at night and useless during the day and draws you back in again. It's a practice, a season, days of holy exchange, not just one moment where it then feels okay. Called upon to see and feel and hold our regrets, we enter the doorway into a lifetime of honorable relationship making. So can't we start here? There is a choicefulness in a new year, in a new day. The early Universalists knew that. They knew that there is a power in the love that is so big and so full, they said, you can't escape it. So return. Return to the people and the places that love you, despite all the ways you've mucked it up. Choose asking the question. Choose holding the answer. Choose being forgiven, being loved. It just may become a season of awe. For all the things being held today in the secret corners of our hearts, may we be gentle with one another and also with ourselves. May we hold one another in the awe of being human together, not unchallenged, not unchanging, but together. Happy New Year, Lashana Tova, and blessed be.